is a, correct, it is a commandment of our religion to, yes, to shun ginger biscuits also. There was sweat on his forehead. For an auditor, this was genius-level creativity. Also, he went on slowly, as if reading the words off some page invisible to everyone else, our religion, correct, our religion demands that the clock be started now, for who may know when the hour may be? Despite herself, Lady Lejeune nearly applauded. Who indeed? Said Dr. Hopkins. I absolutely agree, said Jeremy, who had been staring at Lady Lejeune. I don't understand who you... why there's all this fuss. I don't understand why... oh, dear, I'm having a headache. Dr. Hopkins spilled his tea because of the speed with which he got up and reached into his coat pocket. Ah, it so happens I was passing the apothecary on my way here, he began, all in one breath. I feel it's not the time to start the clock, said Lady Lejeune, edging herself along the desk. The hammer was still invitingly there. I'm seeing those little flashes of light, Dr. Hopkins, said Jeremy urgently, staring into the middle distance. Not the flashes of light, not the flashes of light, said Dr. Hopkins. He grabbed a teaspoon off Igor's tray, stared at it, threw it over his shoulder, tipped the tea out of a cup, opened the bottle of blue medicine by smashing the top off on the edge of the bench, and poured a cupful, spilling quite a lot of it in his hurry. The hammer was inches away from her ladyship's hand. She didn't dare look round, but she could sense it there. While the auditors stared at the trembling Jeremy, she let her fingers walk across the bench. She wouldn't even have to move. A brisk overarm throw should do it. She saw Dr. Hopkins try to put the cup to Jeremy's lips. The boy put his hands over his face and elbowed the cup out of the way, spilling the medicine across the floor. Then Lady Lejeune's fingers were grasping the handle. She brought her hand round and hurled the hammer directly at the clock. Tick. The war was going badly for the weaker side. Their positioning was wrong, their tactics ragged, their strategy hopeless. The Red Army advanced across the whole front, dismembering the scurrying remnant of the collapsing army. There was room for only one anthill on this lawn. Death found War down among the grass blades. He admired attention to detail. War was in full armour, too, but the human heads he normally had tied to his saddle had been replaced by ant heads, feelers and all.
"Do they notice, do you think?"
he said.
"Oh, I doubt it," said War. "Nevertheless, if they did, I'm sure they would appreciate it."
"Ha! Only decent theatre of war around these days," said War. "That's what I like about ants. The buggers don't learn, what?"
"It has been rather peaceful of late, I agree," said Death.
"Peaceful?" said War. "Ha! I may as well change my name to Police Action or Negotiated Settlement. Remember the old days? Warriors used to froth at the mouth. Arms and legs bouncing in all directions. Great times, eh?"
He leaned across and slapped Death on the back.
"I'll bag 'em and you tag 'em, what?"
This looked hopeful, Death thought.
"Talking of the old days," he said carefully, "I'm sure you remember the tradition of riding out."
War gave him a puzzled look.
"Mine's a blank on that one, old boy."
"I sent out the call."
"Can't say it rings a bell."
"Apocalypse," said Death. "End of the world."
War continued to stare.
"Definitely knocking, old chap, and no one's home. And talking of home..."
War looked around at the twitching remains of the recent slaughter.
"Spot of lunch."
Around them, the forest of grass grew shorter and smaller until it was indeed no more than grass and became the lawn outside a house. It was an ancient longhouse. Where else would War live? But Death saw ivy growing over the roof. He remembered when War would never have allowed anything like that, and a little worm of worry began to gnaw. War hung up his helmet as he entered, and once he would have kept it on. And the benches around the fire pit would have been crowded with warriors, and the air would have been thick with beer and sweat.
"Brought an old friend back here," he said.
Mrs. War was preparing something on the modern black iron kitchen range, which, Death saw, had been installed in the fire pit, with shiny pipes extending into the hole in the roof. She gave Death the kind of nod a wife gives a man whom her husband has, despite previous warnings, unexpectedly brought back from the pub.
"We are having rabbit."